You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X, celebrating Pride and the queer community all year. Queer founded, queer run, and the makers of the original boxer briefs for women, creating sustainable size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies so you feel comfortable in your own skin. Tomboy X just dropped their Pride 24 collection, obsessively fit tested for all day comfort in sizes 3 extra small through 6X. Visit tomboyx.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked, if movies have women in them, are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast, start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Hello, welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Jamie Loftus.
My name's Caitlin Durante.
And this is our podcast about the portrayal of women in movies.
And how Hollywood fucks it up almost constantly.
Caitlin, language.
Sorry.
Early in the podcast, I read the reviews and they say we're vulgar and we don't know what we're talking about. That's all the reviews.
Hooray.
Good Lord.
So if you want to not have those be our only reviews, please rate and review us on iTunes. Hey, the Bechdel test, if you don't know what that is, is a media test created by cartoonist Alison Bechdel, and it requires that a piece of media, a movie perhaps, has two female-identifying characters with names. They must speak to each other, and their conversation cannot be about a man.
Yeah. You think it'd be easy, but most movies don't pass it.
A lot of them don't.
Yeah.
Anywho, so we use that as a way to kick off a conversation about women in movies. And we're going to do that again today. It's the same thing every freaking time.
Every fucking time. Over two fucking
language,
years.
Language, Jamie.
Jesus Christ. Okay. So today we're featuring an iconic duo that we've never featured on this show before. Mm-hmm. And so it only seemed fitting that we bring in an iconic duo to cover it with us.
Yes.
Yes.
So without much further ado.
They're panicking.
They're panicking. They're holding hands. They are comedians and they are the hosts of the Seek Treatment podcast on the Forever Dog Network. It's Catherine Cohen and Pat Regan.
Hey.
Hello.
Oh my God.
Please only talk in unison the entire episode.
Wait, can I say this? I wonder, we were chatting with Catherine's abroad lover.
Sure.
Can we say that? And
my abroad lover.
I've never met him, but we were both FaceTiming him, and I walked into her apartment. She was FaceTiming him, so I started talking, and he was like, oh, you guys talk alike. No, he's like, you talk how she does.
Okay, you're revealing where he's from. You're incredible.
No. I have a guess where he's
French.
From.
Well,
you should know that I'm bad at accent. Like, if I try to do, like, Australian accent, it comes out as Japanese. If I try to do a British accent, it comes out as Midwestern.
Like, if I try and do any accent besides like British or Southern, it sounds like a sim. I'm obsessed. It's like Skorkendort.
Wait, you guys have never had a duo before?
No. Oh no, we had one for Debs. We had a duo for.
Oh, that's cool.
No, we've had a couple. Black Panther was a duo.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, this may be the fourth or fifth time. But
Wait, did you say that or did I make that up?
You wanted to hear that.
I wanted to hear
you
that.
We brought an iconic duo. But you know what? No, you're the first. Canonically, you're the first. We'll reverse all the numbers necessary.
What's so crazy about time is that though we experience it linearly, that's not how it exists.
It's actually cyclical.
It's fluid.
Why is it so long?
Time?
Yeah.
I know.
I'm trying to move through some pain I'm experiencing, and it won't go away.
It's kind of insane how I feel like I've been alive for a million years. Like, I am
Time is so long, but also what no one talks about is time is also so short. Like, I'll be like lying I'll be kind of lying there looking at the ceiling all of a sudden. I'm not even kidding. It's 16 hours later.
But look at me. Sometimes the day starts and we're like, oh, it's already 3.
I know.
But thank you guys for having us is the point.
Oh my God, you're so welcome. So we are talking about the movie It Takes Two. What is the both of your history, your relationship with this?
It's an American Ashley movie.
Yeah, American,
right. American Ashley, big screen, Steve Guttenberg, wet and shirtless, Kirstie Alley, Hail Zenu movie.
Wait, we have one question we start. Yeah. And we're going to ask you guys this question. Yes. And you need to answer honestly.
Okay.
And don't look it up.
How old do you think Kirstie Alley is today, right now?
I know I Googled it, so I can answer.
Oh, but isn't it crazy?
I don't know. Yes. Can I guess?
Yes.
Today?
Yes.
Today. As we sit in this podcast studio, how old is Kirstie?
I would guess 63.
68 years old. This woman is 70 years old.
I guess 53.
That's like more what I thought. But she didn't start doing like acting until she was like 30.
Yeah.
She's so there's hope for me?
She broke out.
There's hope. We're all doing it.
I am 30.
No, I would like to say, sort of to bring it back to the point of the podcast.
Thank you so much.
It Takes Two. Now, Mary-Kate and Ashley raised me. Did they raise you?
To an extent, yeah.
Okay, not only did they raise me, they invented me, okay? Holiday in the Sun, Passport to Paris. I thought, when I go on a vacation, I'm going to get kissed. It wouldn't be years later, 10 years even, before I did get kissed upon first seeing Passport to Paris. But we come to It Takes Two, and this is sort of, this was in theaters, am I right?
Yes.
Steve Guttenberg, who invented the printing press. Kirstie Alley, who invented jeans. I don't know. Like she's like I picture her like in she's amazing hair.
She invented alleys.
She's like alleyways.
Yeah. She invented a certain kind of hair. That yeah. She doesn't get credit for.
It's a very specific mom hairstyle.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. My experience on the movie is that it taught me that I like sloppy joes.
So you you grew up with this movie, mm-hmm. Catherine. You saw it a bunch, mm-hmm. kind of thing. Okay. Pat, what about you?
My relationship was I had one best friend growing up. We'd have sleepovers and watch like movies and we would watch like Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion or like It Takes Two.
A recent episode of ours.
Oh, wow. Did it pass?
Yeah.
It did.
Uh-huh. Yeah, totally.
Great film.
That movie literally is what I watch when I like want a quick comedy. Every single day. I watch that movie every single day. But
such a specific vibe, the movie you watch when you're just like ready to quit.
Yeah. So we loved It Takes Two for some reason. I remember like going to Blockbuster and getting it. There's just certain lines of it that I've always remembered. Like, I've always remembered the part where the social worker took away one of them, and she runs into the office, and they're like, what do you want us to do? Lie down in front of the van? And she's like, I would have. Kirstie, calm actually the fuck down.
You have a crush on that adoption guy.
I have a crush on the camp, like, gym teacher or whatever. Yeah.
And I have a crush on the abusive adoptive father.
Which is psycho. I do, too. Yeah, I wrote that down. Yeah, he's our type. Like, he's hot. And then I looked him up. I was like, oh, he was young when he did that. He's like 25 years old in that. I was like, oh, whoa. God.
You called that.
I was like, he's really young. Yeah, I also young was dad. Like, the butt kisses, the couple. Like, I was like, you could tell that couple was like, that duo, the actor, just like was like cracking up the crew on set, and they like got back the footage and like, oh, this isn't that great, but whatever. Like,
they're UCB.
But I also love it, like Mary-Kate and Ashley, like obviously watched Full House, but then I watched like on ABC Family there was
So Little Time.
Stop. Two of a Kind.
There it is.
Then
they had so many shows. Because there was The Adventures of Mary-Kate and Ashley too.
What's that?
That was like that might have been like a video.
Oh,
thing.
Oh, we'll Solve Any Crime by Dinner Time.
Yes.
Oh yeah,
yes,
that
yes,
was
yes.
huge.
Yes.
Yeah. The haunted episode where the beekeepers.
Oh my God.
An incredible episode.
Classic.
But I always remember a moment in an episode of was when you just said So Little Time, where one of them gets addicted to massages.
Wait, what?
I did not remember that. That's crazy.
At the coffee house they go to, she can't stop getting massages.
Oh, that's me.
For like $68 an hour. Yeah.
I got a massage in public at Bonnaroo, thank you. And I was like, this has turned bad. To get fully massaged while laying down in public is something you shouldn't do.
You've gone all the way up to the line.
That's something I had to learn about myself is I don't like massages. Professional, where the big thing is like they hurt.
What about amateur?
Yeah.
Like do you and your sex partner like oil each other up?
If it's like a sex, well, one of my favorite kinds of porn is massage porn.
That's true.
Oh, it is good. Nice. I like it too.
There's a whole category of gay porn where it's like a guy's going in to get a sports massage and like he's just like a college football player, and then like the guy starts like, you know, paying a lot of attention to the ass, and then all of a sudden there's a tongue in there.
And you guys know where this lands. All this time.
And the guy is like totally not expecting to take a dick up his ass, but he is perfectly waxed.
But then he's like,
So it takes two.
So Steve Guttenberg does look sexy. Just sort of
he's so, oh my god, he's got a very square build.
His shoulder not situation. A lot of neck.
He looks like six different people. Let's name them.
The guy from Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
He also does. I mean,
Rick
this
Moranis,
hunky him
a little bit.
Yeah. I was thinking like Billy Crystal, like
Dennis Quaid, but only because this movie is The Parent Trap.
Yeah,
it is. The movie is The Parent Trap.
Yeah,
and like he kind of intellectually saying it's also Prince and the Pauper.
Stop acting like you've read that.
I haven't read that, but whatever.
I you know, like,
I believe you.
You need to, for 1 second, get over the fact that I was an English minor.
I can't even picture you near a book.
Wait, Jamie, what's your history with the movie?
I saw it when I was really young. For some reason, my household was not a Mary-Kate and Ashley household. Okay. I think my mom did not care for them. Mm-hmm. But my best friend, Lindsay, growing up, had a very Mary-Kate and Ashley household. So all my memories with them are, like, tied to... like hanging out with her, and like we would go, I would go over and we would watch as many as possible before I would have to go home. So I'm talking the sleepover tapes, uh-huh. I'm talking the mystery tapes, I'm talking It Takes Two, Password to Paris, Billboard Dad, my personal favorite. Whoa. And this one, this is like not my favorite one, but it's you know, I love, but
I think that this is the only one that was like in theaters like wide release
until New York Minute many years later.
Oh my god,
loved New York
now,
Minute.
Now what was the plot of that?
Oh,
with
God.
Eugene Levy on the cover.
Also, Jared Padalecki is in that movie.
And who is that to me?
He is
and what are we talking
Dean
about?
From Gilmore Girls. He's Dean from Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls is a cultural blind spot.
But it's not
wow.
I don't
engage. Interesting.
I'm actually so passionate about this. Dean isn't hot.
I don't think he's hot either, but he is irrefutably in that movie.
Okay.
Can't take that from him.
I had never seen this movie.
Oh, wow.
I have never seen any Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen movie.
Whoa. Wait, what? You're like the perfect... Aren't you like the same age
I'm
as
the, I'm a month older than them.
Oh, we are. Yeah.
We are. I am actually the third Olsen triplet.
Wow.
I just came out a month premature. Yeah, no, we're like almost the exact same age, but I don't know. I watched Full House when I was a kid, but I did not engage in any of their... film work.
Dual Star Productions.
But so I hadn't seen this movie, but I had seen The Parent Trap a million times as a kid. But Parent Trap came out, Lisa Lindsay Lohan one came out 3 years after It Takes Two. So it's hard to tell how much
this movie was a big success.
But Parent Trap was based on a previous.
Right. So it's hard to say how much It Takes Two pulled from the original Parent Trap from like the 60s.
What I think happened is they were like, and I wasn't there, I wasn't in on these meetings. But
don't assume. Because...
what I think happened is they were like, this was like the height of MKNA, and they were like, we need a vehicle for these young girls in theaters. And they were like, well, what can we do? They are twins.
They got a Brooklyn accent, and they got a sort of gently British accent.
Yeah. Oh, and the British accent comes and goes. I love it.
The party, daddy.
She's just got good diction, and that's British for her.
But I think that like they were just like, want to do a 20 thing. And then they were like, well, we could do Parent Trap-ish stuff. And they're like, but then they just cut out anything that was like difficult plot wise. Like they're like, let's not make them actual twins. Like let's just make them identical strangers. And like, I think they pulled.
Which
them.
I've seen that documentary, Three Identical Strangers, and it turns out that they were triplets.
Yeah.
Like they were biologically related. It's so crazy that they're just like, yeah, they just happen to look exactly alike.
I thought that was really funny. That was like my favorite like weird confusing plot thing in this movie was that they look. I rewound it to be like, wait a second, is there a moment where like the parent trap? They're like, we're sisters, and the thing.
No,
comes
Hallie,
together.
We're twins.
Like, oh my god, and then they.
But but also I love Kirstie's reaction when the butler comes and she like finds out that they look exactly alike, and she's just like, that's amazing. It's like, is it amazing? I don't know.
I was like, you're a social worker. Like you. It seems like you would be the person to be looking into this. But
right.
She's not particular. I mean, I guess she's sort of good at her job. She spends a lot of her time at camp.
She's not good at her job because she's trying to adopt. Like, what are the ethics of her trying to adopt only a single one of these kids that she
She's trying to adopt the one white one.
It's messed up.
It is.
Gosh.
It is. I like that part though when Kirstie, I mean, we can hit it in the there's a part where she's in this like Stevie Nicks black billowy thing. Yeah. She's walking through the woods. She's like, "Do I love Steve Guttenberg or not?" That was my favorite part.
Her clothes are so big.
Yeah.
So big.
I feel like there's like this whole narrative with like Kirstie Alley's like body where like when she's in her 40s, because she's in her 40s in this movie. Mm-hmm. And there's like, you know how like Kirstie Alley, she was a representative for like Jenny Craig forever.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's a bad actress.
And like everyone gave her shit about her weight forever. And I think this is around the time where that starts, because the way she's costumed is like kind of bizarre sometimes, where she's like put in these like billowy, boxy, like you're not really supposed to be seeing her body. I don't know. Yeah. I just found it
weird. She was all about like a cinched waist on Cheers, like like shoulder pads and cinched waist. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, she was just the polar opposite direction. But I think that like, I don't know, there was like one scene where she was in like a high-waisted jean.
Yes. Was that the food fight scene?
No, because she's wearing like a really like
she's like wearing 500
oversized
sweaters.
Yeah,
sweater.
She doesn't need to. Yeah.
It's like she's a cutie.
She's at camp. It's like, have some fun.
Why are you wearing so many sweaters at camp? It's summer.
It's summer.
This doesn't piss me off. In movies where there's kids at camp, they're always wearing like flannels. I'm like, it's hot. Take off your flannel.
They probably shot it in like November. I know. They're like, it's summer.
But stop romanticizing flannel.
Okay, so I'll do the recap really quickly of the story, and then we'll get into the discussion. Okay, so
there's so much to discuss.
We meet this little girl named Amanda. She's a tomboy. She's playing baseball. Here. Hey, I'm walking here. And she lives at like an orphanage of sorts. Mm-hmm. And then Diane, which is Kirstie Alley's character, is trying to help find a family to adopt her. So that's her exposition.
Which I think is interesting that she has to interview. Like, it's a job. She's like, you have to come to your interview for your parents. And, which like, I'm just surprised they make orphans interview for that.
Yeah. I also like that Kirstie Alley, like, right off the bat, she leans out the window and immediately, like, threatens one of the sweet little girls. She's like, I'm going to kill you don't get into the cat.
Like, she's like, I said I would kill you if you wore a dress to play ball.
Right.
And then the Brooklyn twin is like, which they live in the east side of Manhattan, they reveal. But, like, is like, what, I ain't going to hurt her or nothing. It's cool.
She's scrappy.
She's very scrappy.
Yeah.
But in direct contrast to scrappy Amanda, there's Alyssa Calloway, who looks the exact same as Amanda, but she's a different person, and she's rich, and she plays the piano, and she gets off this private jet.
She's sort of British, even though her parent is not British.
Yeah.
And she doesn't live in England.
She has this weird, like, posh, like...
She's got a lot of hats. I feel like her personality is...
It's like, and this is a classic Olsen twin device. It's like a brim hat with the front brim like bent up and a sunflower on it.
Yeah,
the classic Olsen twins.
They also
vehicle.
Love the backwards baseball cap.
Depending on what their character
choice
is. Sort
of the yin, the yang.
The Olsen twins will always fall back on like two sisters that are polar. Like either one loves sports, but one loves fashion.
One's more like a boy, and one's more like a girl.
Mary Kate's always the sporty one, right? And then Ashley's always the like more femme.
I never pay attention to who plays which.
Well, that's true,
and
you should be paying attention.
For some reason, that's very important to me.
I miss the Olsen twins. Like, We just had this conversation.
I was googling them frantically.
We were like, how are they doing? Like, are they doing well? And I said, it's the kind of thing where it's like, it definitely seems like they're not doing well. But if you say that, if you ever like say something about the Olsen twins, the other person's like, they're actually doing amazing. So they're actually doing really well. So what are you talking about? I'm like, okay, sorry. Like, I'm just.
They have a bunch of like fashion
I'm just
lines.
Curious.
Yeah.
But that's what everyone says. They're like, they're doing fashion now. And,
and then their other sister, who looks also exactly like them.
Elizabeth.
And she's in like the Avengers movies.
She's very talented.
I want some movie where she was. It was called Liberal Arts with Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother.
I've seen it.
Yeah, I hated that movie.
Okay, so back to the story. So there are these two girls who look identical, but, you know, they come from different walks of life. Mm-hmm. And then Alyssa meets, she, like, meets up with her father, who...
Steve Gutz.
Yeah, Steve Gutenberg.
Who Steve Gutz does not show up to Alyssa's private jet. Very rude. Mm-hmm. The butler shows up to the private jet.
Right.
But there's no handshake, like, in Parent Trap.
Right. But we're saying, is the classic trope of, like, a butler kind of raising a child. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, like, this whole movie makes me, like, if I'm ever rich, God forbid, I want to be, like, the kind of rich people are in, like, mid-90s movies where you, like, for sure have, like, a house of, like, kind of, like, servants that are just, like, walking around with platters.
I said that we need butlers, we need platters.
We need a circular driveway. We need, like, a 95 limo.
An indoor pool.
An indoor pool, for sure. I'm gonna get like legally married to like the bitchy woman who's like the stepmom in all these movies. Like I'm gonna have that wife for sure.
Mm-hmm. In this movie, her name is Clarice Kensington.
Clarice. Oh.
So Alyssa meets her and she's like, "Who's this woman?" She's engaged to Steve Guttenberg's character, but she doesn't know that yet.
How do we think they met?
Clarice and Steve. They do not say. Oh.
They definitely met at like a fundraising event.
Because she says, "This is where I feel like." It does a little better than the Parent Trap because she's supposed to be like a climbing socialite or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then Meredith in the Parent Trap has a job and is super successful, but is just like trying to marry him anyways. I was like, but he seems like you're fine. Anyways, this lady, I mean, she's just kind of like, she's like a socialite cartoon, right?
Something. I don't know. These characters are never well developed.
Oh my God, the beige shells is so wild.
I do think she looks stunning in the engagement party scene. She's wearing that green dress, like, and she has her, like, necklace and earrings are really nice. I was like, had romantic feelings towards her in that scene.
I love when her playful Jewish friend comes up and I'm like, great, that's me. I did book that role.
So Alyssa gets upset that Clarice is so mean and she finds out that she's getting married to her father. So she's like, I'm running away. Meanwhile, Amanda is going to summer camp on the same lake that this like giant estate where Alyssa now lives.
And like Steve Guttenberg's dead wife started the camp.
Yes.
We never learn her name. We never learn anything except she, of course, died during childbirth.
I know. Right.
The scene.
I said this because they were yelling over the cafeteria and he's like, my wife died when Alyssa was born. And I was like, my daughter killed my wife.
That scene is so wild, like the way that's delivered. Because after he said, he's like, she died giving birth to Alyssa, and Kirstie Alley just like winces and is like, oh, sorry. And then they continue the food.
And the whole point of that is like for Kirstie Alley's character to know, like, Kirstie Alley in her head was like, oh, you're
single.
You're single. Yeah. Like, it was like a weird flirty moment.
That's
like,
my favorite part of learning that someone's wife has been dead for 10 years. Yeah. Perhaps they're single.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so then, Amanda is with, like, all of her camp friends, and they dare her to ring the doorbell of this huge house, because they're like, it's haunted, so, like, go ring the doorbell. So she does, and then Vincenzo, the butler, opens the door, and he sees Amanda and thinks it's Alyssa, because, again, they're
identical strangers.
So he brings her inside.
He's a mere butler.
And then Diane finds Alyssa, who had run away to like 100 yards away. So she's like, hey, Amanda. And then she brings Alyssa, thinking it's Amanda, back to the camp. And there's a football game that makes Alyssa run back into the woods just as Amanda is running away from the house.
And then
they bump into each other.
They're two identical strangers again.
Yes. So there's like an extra step that doesn't need to be there. They could have just like...
Yeah, but then I also feel like the movie seemed like it ended really soon. I was like, oh, they had to stretch this out plot-wise. Yeah.
So they decide to switch places.
And why do they decide to switch places?
So Amanda is going to pretend to be Alyssa because she's so good at scaring off parents because she's an orphan and no one wants to adopt her.
Got it.
But then it's not clear why Alyssa wants to like go to the camp and pretend to be Amanda.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like a grass is always greener situation because they did set up a lot like neither of them are like happy in their lives and like one is always like I want a dad. The grass is much greener. But I think that they were both like the one wanted like parents and the other one was like, oh my God, it's actually really lonely to be rich.
It's peevers.
It's like, what's it like to have friends? So when they reunite the next day, Amanda is like, Clarice is gone, but only for a week. And then Alyssa's like, shit, like, too bad Diane can't be my mom because they had, like, bonded with each other. So they
Everyone
get the idea.
Diane.
Yeah.
And all of her sweaters.
Diane's like the Chessie of this.
Yeah.
She is. For sure. Uh-huh. I like that Chessie gets to really shine and gets to be the romantic interest.
Totally. Finally.
Right.
Yeah. Mid-40s romantic lead.
Jesus Christ.
Come
about
through,
yeah,
Quinn.
She's a really important
So then they get the idea to have Diane try to meet Steve Guttenberg so in the hopes that they will fall in love. So they orchestrate this whole, like, horse riding encounter.
And Steve Guttenberg's horse outfit is off the charts. His equestrian wear. The gloves.
Don't forget the moment where he is riding with one of the girls. I don't remember which one it is. But he says something like, I don't know, he asks her a question, and then she responds with, are you asking me an equestrian? It's meant to be a play on words.
Oh.
But it's...
They don't have the chops
Why would
to
she do that?
That?
I guess it's an attempt at a joke.
He did look so hot in his, like, riding outfit when he
really
was chasing
did.
Down the horse. I was like, cool.
Whoa,
I think this movie's actually really cool.
So Diane and Steve Guttenberg's character, which, do we know his name?
Roger.
Roger.
No. Roger Calloway.
He's
Roger?
Actually in the script. It just says Steve Guttenberg's character.
So Diane and Roger meet. And
Mid-40s.
Then
do you, Steve Guttenberg's character, take Clarissa to be your lawfully wedded wife?
Steve Guttenberg, also 7 years younger than Kirstie Alley.
Oh.
Yeah.
Radical?
I love that.
Perhaps.
This movie is political.
Okay, so so Roger and Diane, they meet, and the sparks are flying. They are very interested in each
other.
They're
all revved up from riding those fucking horses.
I know. There's one scene where Kirstie's riding the horse.
She's
herself. She is coming so hard. She has like 18 orgasms. She's bouncing harder than I've ever seen someone bounce.
Yeah.
There's a lot of hard bouncers.
There's a lot of there's like a lot of chemistry between them too. I was like, because usually with these movies you're just like, yeah, that no way. But I was like, man, I would watch
that. Pretty believable.
They would
fuck.
See it.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I'm so horny lately.
Yeah.
So then they hang out at camp a little bit. There's this big food fight. They almost kiss, but then they get interrupted, as it usually happens, because they can't kiss until the end.
Oh my god, but no, isn't that scene interrupted by the butler's golden telescope?
Well, yeah, the canoes fall over because that's where the two girls are hiding, but Vincenzo is actively spying on him.
And his golden telescope.
Yeah, but then he
that.
Leaves the room, and then Clarice comes back like way early and then looks into the telescope and sees them flirting. So then she's like, fuck, I gotta bump up this wedding.
We missed that.
The golden telescope is my new favorite plot device. I want it to be in every movie because that cuts off him watching through the golden telescope. I like panicked in my house because he's saying, as he's watching through the telescope at Kirstie Alley and Steve Guttenberg flirting a whole lake away.
Yeah.
So it's like it's a nice telescope. They're very wealthy. And he goes, that's more like it. And then he turns and then she looks in the telescope.
And then she sees, yeah. So that's why she's like, I gotta bump up this wedding, gotta trap this man ASAP. Mm. And then she's trying to send Amanda, who she thinks is Alyssa, away to boarding school. And while that's all happening, Alyssa, who the camp people think is Amanda, is being adopted by that lame couple from the beginning, who basically just like put her to work into a junkyard.
Which is like, I thought that was like unnecessarily like real. They're just like, oh yeah, and let's also like shed some light on the harsh adoptive practices. And I was like, this is not the movie to be tackling.
Right.
But it's like a bunch of kids and like, they're working in a scrapyard.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And Kirstie comes and she's like, I'm going to report you to social services after I get my man. And she like leaves all the kids there to do
and
work.
Leaves all the kids. And they made the kids seem so mean and on the adoptive father's side. And they're just like, you think you're rich, you fucking idiot. And
right.
then the rich kid is saved and all the poor kids stuck in the adoptive system are left to rot. And it's like, wow, a really inspiring message.
Yeah.
Good job, Kirstie.
But then, yeah, Diane goes to rescue Alyssa. And then meanwhile,
and stop the wedding.
Yeah, Amanda's stalling the wedding, and then the two of them are there because it takes two, baby.
To stop the wedding.
To stop the wedding, which works. And then Roger ends up with Diane, and then they finally get to kiss. And then I guess they're all together as a family because Diane mm-hmm. adopts Amanda. Is that what happens?
Yeah, it was also.
She leaves her job to live at the mansion.
It also was a line in the beginning of the movie where, like, the poor one was like, why don't you just adopt me, Diane? And Diane was like, but you know that they won't let me adopt you because on my salary. Plus, I don't have a husband.
Whoa. That, okay. That
I
is,
did not catch that.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is like one of the wilder, more 1995 like points that comes up multiple points in the movie. And there's even one point where she's trying to adopt Amanda and then they're like, they laughed at me because I don't have a husband. Yeah. And you're just like, this is, and then you're, and then I'm like, maybe I know she likes Steve Guttenberg, but he could be a means to an end to get her to be able to adopt this kid.
Because yeah, I think maybe. That was also a point. Was like, now we could be a family because I have a husband who's rich and they'll let me adopt you.
And he
yeah.
has
so bleak.
Like you.
Yeah. Well, let's talk more about that right after we take this break.
Oh.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back.
Do you guys have anyone you can set me up with while I'm here?
They're in Los Angeles?
Yeah, I want to.
Are you trying to adopt a, yeah. a child and you need a husband?
Yeah. Yeah, if you have a 10-year-old you're trying to adopt, we know a number of very wealthy Gutenberg types.
Oh, perfect.
That we'd love to set
my,
you up
my
with.
Other favorite line in the movie was when Kirstie was like, wow, you're so rich. Like, you must be amazing. And the
what?
Guy's like, it was just dumb luck getting rich. I only invented cell phones.
Wait, is that what he says?
Yeah.
He invented cell phones?
I only had dumb luck. I mean, that's like a brilliant and like kind of society-changing invention that you created.
But I did see that. I'm like, oh, he's humble. Like,
yeah,
I kind of
that's what they want.
He's like, I stole
that.
The idea from Star Trek. And now I'm a billionaire.
Star Trek invented cell phones.
The main character of the movie for me was Alyssa's canopy bed. That's the bed I have always wanted and still want.
Yes.
But also my favorite part of the movie was when they stopped the wedding and like, Clarice is mortified and she goes to hit in front of a church of thousands of people. She goes to hit the kid and then like Butler's like, if you hit that kid, I'll punch you.
Yeah, he's like, I will beat the shit out of you.
And then we're like, wow, Butler, like go off incredible. And then she walks down the aisle and threatens to hit the second kid.
And Kirstie Alley says, back off, Barbie.
Right.
Me and my friend thought that's the funniest line of all time. So we watched that line so many times.
And then she's like, I've never been more humiliated in my life. And then one of the kids goes, wanna bet? And then rips her skirt off.
Yeah, it was just so unnecessary.
So she has to run away with
her
like underwear.
Two children at this point.
I mean, like, we don't. I mean,
you do feel bad for her when
sure.
Even when he says no.
I love the idea of just anytime you're humiliated, yelling, I've never been this humiliated in my entire life at the top of your lungs.
So wait, to go back to what we were touching on a little bit ago is like there's this idea that's in this movie. It's in the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap. But it's this idea that like a kid needs a mother and a father.
Yeah, it's very nuclear unit.
Mm-hmm.
They need a mother, a father, and one gay butler who's canonically straight.
Asexual
butler. Because, Amanda wants Diane to adopt her. And, like, Diane, again, the ethics of this is crazy when she's like, yeah, I want to adopt you, too. Yes, I run an orphanage full of many other children who need adopted, but you're the one that I like the best. Right.
And then what, she continues living in the orphanage? Like,
right.
Yeah.
I was confused. I mean, it's just like very, like all these movies are so like, they're like, well, a single parent could not possibly do this. So like, well, you know, you have to do like a series of hijinks and throw Steve Guttenberg in a river and hope he falls in love. And like, there has to be a food fight so that you can have your straight parents. Mm-hmm. In a golden telescope, which I do want.
Yeah,
I do want that too.
Because at one point, the dad, the Steve Guttenberg character, Guttenberg.
Oh God! Love it.
Oh no! I'm falling apart.
you're starting to sound like Catherine's.
Exactly. Simlish.
He says to Alyssa, he's like, "Clarice and I are getting married. You're gonna finally have a real family. She's gonna be your new mother. So it's like, you know, there's no such thing as real family unless there's a hetero mom and a hetero dad. Right. They're married together." And then Diane, earlier than that, even says to Amanda, "You deserve a mother and a father." And then Amanda's like, "Oh, so get a husband." And she's like, "I don't know how. I haven't met Steve Guttenberg
yet." It's not like buying
a
car, she says. Right. And I said, have you checked out CarMax, honey? Tinder?
So, yeah, I mean, like, I think we talked a little bit, because we've done a bonus episode on the Lindsay Lohan Parent Trap.
Yes. And
we had this discussion a little bit. But, yeah, it's like these, like, children's movies are perpetuating this, like, heteronormative nuclear family unit that has to exist or else like it's not a quote real family, and
or that there's like something missing, or that you should be
it's just very like that was the 90s.
Yeah, like there's I can't think of any movie that like really in the 90s that would like challenge this at all. But it is weird that there was like a trend of movies that it was like people striving for a nuclear unit at all costs.
Right.
And there's always like a rich blonde lady who gets, I personally, she gets gum in her hair in this one, but I prefer the lizard in the mouth.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a good scene. The nuclear, I was also thinking of like Mrs. Doubtfire, and like the 90s were about having two parents. They were about ruffles with onion dip. They were about bucket hats with a big sunflower.
They were about twins.
They were about twins.
Right down to the Coors Light commercials.
And now there's more twins than ever.
And then all the double mint. There's more commercials.
Twins now. Who are the big twins right now?
Sprouses still.
In the 90s, we had Tia Tamara. We had the Olsons. Yes. We had Lindsay Lohan and her kind of
herself.
Lindsay Lohan. Both Lindsay Lohan.
Who were their boy twins? Zach and Cody.
Yeah.
That was in 90s.
Were there other boy twins?
Who were the kids who played Ross's son in Friends?
Those were the Sprouse twins.
So we're once again hitting on the Sprouses, the Zach and Cody's, the Ross's kids. They're all two people. They're all just two people.
Oh, God.
Did y'all want a twin when you were growing up?
Kind of.
I really wanted a twin.
Yeah. I was dying for a twin.
I was dead for a twin. Absolutely slaughtered for a twin. The
media representation. Okay, well, this leads me to my next point.
I would have killed my brother if it meant I would have gotten a twin.
Because the media representation of twins made it seem so cool and so fun because they always go on these like hijinks adventures together.
I don't think that's necessarily a negative media trope. It was just a weirdly prominent thing.
Right. There was twins on The Bachelor a few years ago.
But one of the big thing I noticed about this movie, here's my main problem with it, because it's...
Is it the child acting?
That is a very big thing.
Blaring.
So it's a movie starring two little girls, and yet it still has to end in a hetero adult wedding. Because I was thinking about, like, okay, think about movies that star mostly little boys. You know, you've got your Goonies, you've got your Sandlots, Mighty Ducks, any, like, little boy sports movie, basically. And then, like, Stand By Me. It's like boys getting to go on adventures and like having a ragtag time. But movies that star little girls, the trend is, well, I can't even think of that many aside from like this whole slew of Mary
about
Kate.
Then.
I think about Harriet the Spy.
Oh, Harriet the Spy,
Matilda.
Yeah.
Matilda.
But like, as far as like an ensemble cast of like a bunch of little girls, like I can't think of hardly any of
those
movies.
Let me tell you this. I never forget what flipping on my TV and seeing Now and Then and my mind being completely blown, being like,
no, Now and Then.
Oh my God.
I don't know that either.
Oh my God. It's so, you know Now and Then?
Oh yeah, I know. Okay. I've seen it.
Being like, I've never seen anything like this. I can't believe there are these little girls talking about like wanting boobs and like flirting and boys and like. It was the most, I was like, why aren't there more? I've never seen anything like this in my life.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that.
But yeah, the point is like, there's so few movies about like little girls just being little girls. And if there is a movie where there are like a couple girls, it's usually about them orchestrating this like crazy love story for adults.
Yeah. I think there are some exceptions to that rule, but it was, I mean, just like the whole wedding aspect of this seems like, I don't know, there was a more fun movie where that wasn't so prominent. As much as I love an extended Stop the Wedding sequence.
Totally.
And they really go for it here. There's horses, there's helicopters, yeah. there's abandoned, adopted children. This one's got it all. But
going back really quickly to like how movies that feature like little boys versus movies that feature little girls, like guess what I never did as a little girl? I never tried to get two adults to fuck.
I'm trying to think if I have
what I did do is I went to school. I played soccer. I played on jungle gyms. I was in Girl Scouts. Like I climbed trees. I like did all this stuff that like you see little boys get to do in movies.
I feel like I did want, I think, but it was as a result of watching movies like this where I'm like, oh, who are two adults in my life who I could try to convince to fall? But it was a direct result of like, I didn't come up with that on my own any more than like I came up with like wanting to play Harriet the Spy on my own or like wanting to play, like any movie starring a little girl just became a game of like, we're just playing that. We're just reenacting it because I, you know, I'm an
Well, that's
kid.
The
I'm
other
dumb.
Thing about like all these movies that are targeted that have like big theatrical releases that are targeted to little girls, they're usually about like teens or adults falling in love. Like if we're looking at like the movies like when I was growing up or were like the Disney Renaissance movies where you've got, you know, your Beauty and the Beast and Aladdin's and Little Mermaids, and it's like all these movies about romance and then the movies targeted towards little boys, you know, they're like adventures and they're gonna go find a dead body or they're gonna go find the treasure.
They got a sandlot.
They're gonna go find a sandlot.
Yeah. That's what that movie's about, right?
Yeah. Oh, can't so I just like I hate that and we say this all the time, but movies that are targeted toward children have to be especially careful with their content and their messages and all that stuff because, you know, their brains are little sponges and they just like take whatever they see as like absolute truth. So, I mean, it's no wonder that like at least like my generation of like kids growing up into the adults we are now being fed the movies that we were made me all fucked up.
Fucked up in your head. Yeah.
That's why I'm so boy crazy. Oh my God, I'm exhausted. That's all I think about.
Everyone was telling you. I don't know. Yeah. Fortunately, this movie was not particularly successful. It did not, which I think is maybe why the Parent Trap was so comfortable lifting so much material from it. It did not do very well in theaters, which is why Mary-Kate and Ashley were trapped on television for the next 10 years.
I didn't realize it didn't do well. I think I would have assumed it did.
No, it only made like trapped 18 million bucks.
Really?
Nothing.
So to me, that is a lot.
That's a lot of money.
For some people, in some situations, 18 million, $50,000.
Well, when you fucking invent a cell phone that's like pocket chain.
Truly.
I love that.
I do want to draw some of the comparisons between both It Takes Two and The Parent Trap, and let's throw the Princess Switch in there too, because that's basically also the same exact movie.
Who was in that?
You would love it.
It was Vanessa Hudgens.
I was supposed to watch it with my lover who broke up with me after asking me to be his girlfriend 4 days before.
Oh.
Sort of just makes about me.
Yeah. We have to sidebar.
Can't stop talking about that.
We did another Matreon bonus episode about that movie. Everyone should sign up for our Matreon and listen to it. Anyway, okay, so the parallels. We've got summer camp being a huge plot point. Mm-hmm. We've got a dad living in a huge house in the countryside.
Mm. We've got butlers.
We've got the one who is posh has a butler friend. Of the two girls, we've got an evil stepmother lady who is blonde and mean. And then the parallels between It Takes Two and The Princess Switch are that one of them can play the piano and one of them can't. And the one who can't play piano is forced into a situation where she has to play the piano. And the same thing with horse riding, where one of them knows how to horse ride and the other one doesn't.
What girlish hobbies. Piano, horses.
Totally.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess at least Amanda plays, like, football and baseball. She plays
stickball.
Yeah.
She plays stickball.
Waya yada.
Okay, do you remember the stylist character, who I think is in, like, one scene? He's, like...
Who won a GLAAD award.
Oh, yeah. I said that. I was like, hey, this movie won a GLAAD award for representation.
your like very standard queer coded stylist character that you see in like all of these movies. He said something like, "I'm a hairdresser, not a zookeeper."
Yeah,
Which is hilarious.
Zing! But he's no Paolo Putanesco, but he'll do. The one moment where I feel bad for any of these stepmother characters that don't exist in real life, just because they're so like cartoony.
They're so cartoonish.
And silly. But when they do make the choice to bring in her father, who negs the fuck out of her. Second she's about to walk, he's like, wow, my first daughter's also the last to get married. Yeah. Interesting. And then just slides out of frame. You're like, what? And who is that for? What was the,
all of
was
those
the
evil
that?
Stepmother characters in these movies are so underwritten and so poorly developed that
I just thought it was
like, why
I thought it was
bother?
Weird that the only issue, like the only part of her they chose to develop was like, oh, but don't worry, she has severe daddy issues apparently.
Lucky for
it's
you.
Like, interesting.
We gotta take another quick break, but we'll be right back.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back.
Yes.
Also on the child acting, this movie made me actually really appreciate the talent of Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen because they were literally the only kids in the movie that were even slightly off book. Mm-hmm. Like every other kid was like truly reading cue cards.
the thing that legitimately bothered me about this movie, as much as it's like we've talked about, like the wedding movies ending in a wedding is, you know, exhausted. Mm-hmm. And in 95 is probably like peak, even though it still happens. But the way adoption was like made to look in this movie really bugged me. But I think it's because I grew up around a lot of kids who were adopted or were like in the system. And the way that this movie makes it look so goofy and almost like it's the kids' fault.
Yeah.
Like especially in the junkyard situation where all the kids that are not like this wealthy little girl and like Steve Guttenberg's like daughter are made to seem like antagonistic and mean and like asking for it, that they're being treated so horribly. And all the orphan, like at the orphanage, it's a little different, but that's like not even how the adoption system works anymore. Like, why are we still being like, oh, the New York City orphanage? Like, that's not how those systems work. I don't know. It just bugged me.
Even with the Olsen, it's like if you could only just wear a dress, like you would be adopted, but you can't seem to be that. So.
You're presenting as too tomboyish, so that's why no one likes you.
And there's also no, like, arc where it's like, oh, like, she can actually be herself and get adopted. It's like, no, you actually couldn't have, but thank God for you. Like, I'm marrying a rich guy, and now you don't need to be adopted.
Yeah. Right. I don't know. That was, like, the one thing that really did. I was just like, oh, that's, like, irresponsible.
Yeah.
And, like, there was a way to write that storyline that didn't need to be that way, but it was just, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Does anyone have any other thoughts about the movie, the masterpiece, It Takes Two?
It Takes Two.
Wait, I think we need to talk a little bit more about, like, what the Olsen twins mean to us.
I suppose the Olsen twins don't mean that much to me. They just weren't a part of my media consumption as a kid.
Who are your main go-tos?
When I was this age, I was watching Back to the Future every day of my life.
Well, like, I never saw it.
Oh my God. Yeah, I was like, I was watching those problematic 80s movies that were like a little too old for me to be watching. I was like, Back to the Future and like Indiana Jones were my go-tos. So I was watching these like boy-centric movies because I didn't like what was available. I mean, and then like also all those Disney movies, but I just didn't like a lot of what was available to me, like the like girly movies, I suppose, which probably because they were all about like, hey, let's make sure these adults fuck. And that's my main goal. Like, why couldn't there have been a movie about two girls who meet each other, whether or not they look exactly alike or not, like whatever.
But it helps. If
Can
they
it not
are
be
identical.
About something? Yeah. Right. Like, why does it automatically have to be about like trying to get a romance to happen? Because it's like, well, they're too young to try to find boys themselves.
But that's not also not to be fair. That's not every Mary-Kate and Ashley joint.
Sure.
They do a lot of different, they do a variation on like three different plots.
Yeah. Okay, great.
So sometimes they're trying to find apparent love. Other times they're like solving a mystery. Like they do a lot of stuff.
But they always have a love interest in their films.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, I guess there is, I mean, even on like Passport to Paris, like, yeah, they get
boyfriends.
No,
that's boyfriends. Like the main, that's their first on-screen kiss.
Oh my, wait, really?
So Passport to Paris was their the Olsen twins' first on-screen kiss. Okay. And
how old were they?
They were 11.
Oh, wow, that is quite
I could
young.
Be wrong. That this is what my brain's telling okay. me. And there's a scene where one of the French guys, and maybe this is why I keep getting addicted to people who don't live in the same country as me, but one of the guys, like, she meets him and then he's imitating her and he goes, oh my God, oh my God. Remember that part?
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, I feel completely unsupported.
They're 12 in that movie. That's wild.
I also, wait, 12. We also
I remember that about, so clearly.
We also need to talk about the cultural moment where it was like 2004 and there was like online and there was like websites where you could go to see a clock, a countdown clock till the Olsen twins were 18 so
Ew.
You can fuck them.
My older cousin was all about that clock.
Oh my God.
He was so into the countdown.
I hate that.
It was disgusting.
Anyone who is into that clock is gay. And I say that having so much respect for your cousin and his wife.
And they're two beautiful twin girls.
But that's a big problem.
And also, he's like tortured inside, and it's too
Where
bad.
Is he now? And is he single?
He's bald and in Massachusetts and married.
Good. Can I just say one thing about the countdown of like the Olsen twins turning 18?
Disgusting.
Like, there's this huge problem that's happening right now, and probably has been happening since the dawn of time, where like men in whatever capacity and industry and all that are like grooming underage
girls. Oh, that's always been a problem.
Yeah. To like whenever they become legal and turn 18, so they're like ready to trap them basically.
One,
but it's like
one word, Brittany.
It's that's Brittany. Happening right now. I forget her name, but the actress who plays 11 on Stranger Things.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, she's majorly getting that treatment of like she's 13, but like let's start to get her sexy now.
It makes me puke. So that's
I mean the only boy I can think of that received that treatment was Justin Bieber. I do remember there being a clock element to the Justin Bieber canon. Yes.
Anyway. Hey, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
Yes.
Oh, it does.
It does.
It does. Amanda and Alyssa talk to each other a lot. Mm-hmm. Amanda and Diane talk about finding her a new family. Mm-hmm. Alyssa and Clarice talk to each other a bit. There's a lot of different combos and situations.
So that's it. It's a feminist text.
It's a feminist text. Yeah. You betcha.
Actually, while we were watching, Pat turns to me and goes, I think this movie is good for women.
Yeah. What moment?
That was early on.
I think it was because one of them played baseball.
If a girl plays baseball in a movie, it is good for women.
It is good for women, and all of its flaws must be forgiven immediately.
Well, let's rate the movie. Speaking of deciding if it's good for women or not, rated it on our nipple scale. 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal and representation of women. I don't know. It's so hard with these kids' movies that have to be, well, they don't have to be, but of this era, they're so cartoonish that it's kind of hard to even evaluate them for anything because
they're
so cartoony.
Goofy, yeah.
But you're saying you think that they should be held to a higher standard for this.
I do.
You know what I mean?
Because kids movies these days, so many of these
like they
movies
don't have
from this
to be
era,
shitty for women just because they're for kids.
They were condescending to
kids. I disagree,
Pat. And they help perpetuate these, like, what end up being harmful ideas that, like, a kid needs a mother and a father if and they're going to turn out okay.
Yeah, right. This movie was bad for gays. That's okay. I forgive it.
Almost every movie is bad for queer people.
The movie was good for brunettes.
It was good for brunettes, yeah.
I would give it 2 out of 5
women over 40? Actually, no, because they have to get married or they can't have a child. That's actually horrible.
Bad for them.
Yeah.
Good for Kirstie Alley.
I would give it 2 out of 5 nipples.
I think that's where I would give it.
Is 5 nipples really feminist?
Really good.
Extremely. Yeah. It's like Moana level.
Oh, wow. Never seen it. I don't watch kids' movies because they are boring to me.
I watch them. Paddington is my favorite movie.
People are all hyped up on that. And they're. I guess I'll watch it. I can't watch anything really because I have anxiety and I start thinking about myself too much. it's actually a disease. I guess 2 nips or even 1 nip. It's like, it's not helpful.
It's not helpful. Yeah. I guess it's good for like little girls who can be like, oh, look, they're like, you know, doing a thing. But
I mean, I think it's
at the end of the day.
I'll do like even 1. It sucks because it's like, you know, I guess if we're breaking it down, like women are on screen the majority of the time. But like it's just like it's so 90s in its like ideology and what it's pushing. Like I wouldn't show this movie to a kid.
No.
It seems counterproductive.
Right. Yeah. I think I'm going to give it to kids one nipple. Right. Because it's like. No little girl has ever done this to the extent where they're like fucking riding horses and like trying like orchestrating these like very complicated meet cutes. Like that's not anything a little girl does, but because like at least 2 movies are about this.
Yeah, and 1 is way better.
The other
is like a masterpiece, and the other this one is boring.
Yeah, the other thing we need to address is that she has this refrain of I want that can't eat, can't sleep. Yes. Knock it out of the park kind of love. And that is the most damaging thing a little girl can hear because you think if someone treats you bad, it makes you feel bad, then they're the love of your life and you must chase after them, and that the pining of them is what is romantic, and that has actually ruined my life.
Right.
So excuse me while I levitate off my chair and go through the ceiling.
I also want to say that it's crazy that we both remembered the food fight scene, but neither of us remembered that Kirstie Alley's character starts the food fight.
Yes, I'm like, this is your camp. No one's talking about that.
This is your camp.
I'm taking this to
Twitter. Honestly, progressive.
Yeah.
She starts it.
Fucking up her own camp.
No, someone's going to have to clean it. Someone she pays is going to have to clean the food.
Yeah.
Or she will have to do it because she's
it's
a
like
woman.
It's like Firefest. You need to think of the employees.
Oh my God. This movie is my Firefest.
Well, cool. Thanks to the both of you for
being
here.
Thank you guys
so much for coming.
So fun.
Plug stuff.
Just follow me on Soch at Kat C. Cohen, CatCCohen.
And follow me on Soch actually too, if you're going to follow Catherine on Soch. And this is so weird and so
twisted,
but it's different on Twitter and Insta. I'm trying to say IG, not Insta, because that's what the kids are doing.
IG?
Yeah, Evolve or Die. But on IG, I'm Pat Reegs, PatReegs, and on Twitter, I'm PoRegan, PoReGan.
And more importantly, please like, subscribe, rate, review our podcast called Seek Treatment. It's a podcast about
boys, sex, fucking dating, and love. So definitely kind of like this podcast's enemy.
It's so good, though.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you guys for having us.
Thank you. Speaking of, you know, podcasts, you can follow ours on social media at BechtelCast.
Pretty much everything. You can sign up for our Patreon. Mm-hmm. $5 a month gets you 2 extra episodes.
Patreon.com/BechtelCast.
And
buy our merch.
Yeah, on TeePublic. So check out all the stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you guys.
Yeah.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.